Real Estate Journeys, episode 93.
Welcome to Real Estate Journeys, here to help you build your cash-flowing real estate empire that you've been dreaming of. This is about real estate investors who have escaped the soul-crushing 9-to-5 rat race by taking action, leveraging relationships, and gaining the financial independence. It's time to stop making excuses and get the insight and knowledge you need to become a successful real estate investor. This is your host, Matthew Baltzell.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Matty B, a.k.a. Matthew Baltzell. Welcome back to Real Estate Journeys. Guys, so on today's episode, we have on a great guest. His name is Mark Kenny. He is from Think Multifamily. He's done over 6,500 units. He has over 25 years of experience in the multifamily real estate investing space, and he is absolutely crushing it, and I think he'll be a great guest for you guys to listen to. We cover the topic of trust and how to go about establishing that trust and ultimately winning in real estate. But before we jump into it, guys, what did you think of my new intro? Did you like it? Did you not like it? One of the things that I'm going to try me doing this year and get better at doing is creating better content there for you. So I want to have a more user engaging experience there for you. I want to be putting out better episodes and actually helping you guys really get to the ultimate goal of having a financially free lifestyle and getting out of this rat race and becoming your own person. Because I always say to my wife, you know, when you don't have money, you don't have options. And when you don't have options, you feel desperate. And when you're desperate, you don't make good decisions. And I believe that real estate is one of the best vehicles for you to help establish your financial freedom. So I will be putting out better episodes. Those of you that have been with me from day one, my ride or dies, my roll dogs who are listening to this, thank you very much. I appreciate you. I love you. And I greatly appreciate all the support that I've gotten thus far. So let me know what you guys think of the show. Let me know what you think of the new intro. Go to matthew@matthewbaltzell.com. You can send me an email. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Let me know. So with all that said, guys, let's jump into it. Today's episode, and welcome Mark Kenny to the show.
Hey, Matthew, nice to hear from you.
Yeah, glad to have you on. So we had a really good chat earlier before we started hitting the record button. And Mark is a very, very big thinker, especially when it comes to new real estate investors. Mark, can you explain to us a little bit about why people think small and how can they begin to start thinking big when it comes to real estate investing? If they've like had a couple units and they're really trying to go big, or maybe they haven't even started and they want to go big. Can you talk a little bit about the fears and how we can really shoot for the stars and achieve our dreams and become financially independent?
Yeah, sure. So we started small. My wife and I did actually about 25 years ago. So quite a while ago, senior in college. And at that time, I didn't know what syndication was. I would say I was always fearful of money, for one, just having enough and things like that. But I didn't know what syndication was. So my brother and I did deals together as well. We started with, okay, I'm limited to the money I have, right? Together with my brother, that's it. Can't go any bigger than that because of the loans and earnest money, down payments, things like that. And then lots of times now I'll talk to people that are similar. They're doing 2 to 4 units. And I'll say, well, why don't you do 100 unit, property? I want to hear what they say. Some people will say, well, I don't have the money. I don't have the net worth, liquidity. So our whole goal, I mean, we have a group too, is to kind of put people together that will fill a gap. So if I can go find deals, but I don't have the net worth liquidity, then I can have somebody else in the group come in and, sign a loan for me and things like that. The advantage is that
Okay.
There's a guy at my freaking window, literally. I don't know what he wants. I'm sorry. Wow. Literally at my window. I can hold my blinds now. I'm sorry. I'm like, what does this guy want? Well, he's dropping off groceries. Like, why don't you just drop him at the door? Why would you come to my window in the office? He's looking in the window. Yeah, seriously.
Your Oreos. So Amazon Prime.
Oh my gosh. Instacart. Yeah. So I don't know if I want to start over or I'm like looking at him like this. And why don't you go? Like, my wife's here.
No, this is great material. This is great. This is great material. We're using this. We're going to piece this together. Whatever you want, man.
I'm game.
This is natural. No. Okay, cool. So, all right. So anyway, so you're saying you're piecing people together. You have people in a group. Somebody's trying to find some money, or maybe they don't have the money. They could source some deals, and you're basically linking people together in order to help take down a certain amount of units. Now, when you're linking people together, who is spearheading this? So obviously, you know, when people are getting started out and people are trying to get units, usually you're trying to develop an investor criteria. You're going to have your sponsor. Who's the one that's going to be like the sponsor and spearhead it and come up with the investment criteria? Who kind of develops that if you're linking people together?
Yeah, so we have a group, and then with each person, we'll kind of help them define the markets they're interested in, why they're interested in them. And then I'll also, some people come in and they can go off. Like we have a guy, his first deal is doing like a 530 unit deal, but he has a net worth, liquidity, connections to do all that. The average person doesn't.
Yep.
So we'll say, hey, maybe you're better off starting out a little bit smaller. Smaller is relative. Maybe it's, you know, 90, 100 doors, but try to figure out the things they're good at and have them focus on that, and try not to have them focus on the things they're not good at.
So for people,
I tell everyone the easiest way to get involved in a deal is if you have money. Reality, right?
Yeah.
If you don't have a lot of money, then you're going to have to do something else, like help raise capital, you know, go hustle and find deals, things like that, analyze deals. And then just based on the background, typically you can kind of get a good feel what they've done before. If someone's an engineer, IT guy, typically they're good at analyzing deals. Somebody's marketing or sales, they're typically good at building relationships to raise capital. The idea really is that people come in, originally think they need to do everything on their own. It's like, I'm limited to do this. I can do a 20 unit because it's how much money I have. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, well, if you money wasn't an issue for net worth, liquidity, and the loan, would you do something bigger? And like, yeah, I would do something bigger. It's like, okay, well then don't worry about that piece. It will take care of it. Mm-hmm. But you need to go still find your deal and things like that.
What would you say is your typical avatar of people that you come across that when you're asking them this question, have they had a couple of units? Are they limited? Or like, could you give me more of a background about the avatar?
Yeah. So first of all, from a career standpoint, I would say high percentage, we well over half, is either engineer mindset, which kind of surprised me, or IT. And it surprised me a little bit. I mean, I have a CPA background and I did IT as well. But typically an engineer is super analytical. They overanalyze everything. Mm-hmm. And you would think, well, they're really slow to make decisions. They're probably not going to ever invest. But reality is that they are very analytical. And they're like, I can go touch this thing. It's a building. It makes sense. People need a place to live versus the stock market, which some people have done really well in it. I haven't done that well in it. But it's a piece of paper. There's no logic in it, my personal opinion. So engineers, usually 30s to 40s. I mean, we have people that are older and younger than that. But 30 to 40s have a usually married. For our avatar, and typically have like, you know, one or more children, and they're looking at it going, I have a pretty good career, I'm making good money, but 20, 30 years from now, I'm gonna be doing pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. And how do I spend more time with family? A lot of people work a lot of hours. I was working, you know, minimum 80 hours a week. It's a light week. And my thing was, hey, how do I get to spend more time with family? Because this is my rest of my life can't be like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as real estate, I would say probably over half the people that come into our group have probably flipped a house before, one or two, wholesale and or own, you know, probably, you know, a couple of units here and there, dabbled in it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think also too, you know, you touched on it briefly, you know, when people are thinking, you know, most people in America have lived in apartment complexes, right? And you think this is owned by, I don't even know. Like BlackRock, you don't even think Mark Kenny is the general partner on this. Like you don't even, I mean, at least it never crosses my mind, right? You think it's-
No, it didn't to mine before until 2013.
Yeah, completely, it's completely like off your radar. And so I think a lot of people just automatically assume like, I don't have enough money. And when you talked about, you know, having a limited mindset belief about money for you, where did that come from for you, and how did you go about breaking that and expanding your mindset with your brother to think that you can do bigger deals? Because you obviously have a group, you're helping people. Were you able to, how did you break that? And like, what did you go about to do that?
Early on with my twin brother, he doesn't really do real estate right now anymore, which is kind of ironic a little bit, but other reasons. And we were limited to ourselves. For me, growing up, you know, we had a place to live, we had food and pretty much nothing else. Anything we wanted, we had to buy ourselves. So I always had a major fear of money. I wish I didn't, but I did. I always felt guilty spending money, whether I had it or not. I still felt guilty doing it. And for me, it became a situation where I had an IT business at the time. I started 2008. I was doing pretty well. And then 2013, my wife, Tamil, I was like, you know, she's basically thinking about leaving. And I'm kind of like, what? Like, you know, I mean, I make good money. I do a lot of stuff for the kids. I pick them up. I do all these things thinking to myself. But I really wasn't spending time with her. I mean, I would sleep literally about 3 hours a night. Any extra time I was spending, you know, working or with the kids. So for me, it was kind of one of those things where I was already making decent money. Mm-hmm. Then my mindset was, well, we need to do something different. We both love real estate. We were buying small properties and a friend of mine was syndicating. And I invested in his deal. I'm like, I can do this. But
as
my
a limited
thing
partner,
was,
as a limited partner?
Limited partner, exactly. Yeah, I invested through my retirement funds. That was the first deal I did. Mm-hmm. And I sat there going, well, I don't think I'm going to make enough money to replace my IT income because I was doing pretty well doing IT. It was definitely a mindset, but I said, you know what? I don't need to. If I can make X number of dollars, I can still have a good lifestyle and still, you know, be able to do things. So I had a limiting belief that, hey, I was going to never going to replace my IT income. And I was okay with that because it's potentially going to make, you know, stronger family and things like that. Then we started doing kind of, you know, first deal we did was 64 doors. So not huge, not small, but not huge. And then we started doing, you know, much bigger deals. And my whole thing was, I know as long as you can provide value to other people, you're easy to work with, you have integrity, character, all those characters. You know, everyone says they have it, but reality is they don't. Not everyone has it. But if you do, I know I can get enough people to help me. So if I have a weakness, somebody else will come in to help me in that weakness. And we've been able to do it consistently over and over again. I still get nervous every time. We raised over $50 million last year in our group. That, for me, that's a big number. And I get nervous every time we raise capital. Even if it's $2 million on a deal. We just raised $10 million like really, really fast on that deal. But things happen, it's timing. And you know, the worst thing is, it's not just losing money potentially on earnest money, things like that, it's your reputation. So it's a small world. So if you go try to do a deal and it's too big for you and you don't have a support team, and you fail, you might be done in the business.
Yeah, I think that's you know, very important that you're touching on, like partnerships, you know, filling in the weaknesses. Because, you know, when you're fixing and flipping a home, right? I mean, I started out with 10 single family units with my mother. I helped manage a portfolio back in 2008. And we went belly up. I mean, basically, we were over leveraged. And, you know, like obviously it's mom and pop. So when you think bigger, you think one, like people want to be the head honcho, right? They want to think they can do it all. But like you said, there's people who are going to be your underwriters. There's going to be the limited partners. There's going to be the general partners. There's going to be your attorneys. There's going to be blah, 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 right? The list goes on and on and on and on. So I think it's important if you're listening to this, you know, Mark's really saying that like you can connect and, you know, you can be the person, you can be someone that has just relationships and connects people, right?
Right.
And this is a, especially in when the higher up you get, it definitely is a relationship business. Like it's a, almost like a good old boys club. Like, you know, you trust you. Like if I don't know you, I'm not going to give you deals. I'm not going to work with you. So, if you're listening to this, right, these things take time. And so you're not going to go out there, meet somebody and say, shake their hand, say, hey, I'm going to go raise $5 million for you on your next deal. They're gonna be like, okay, cool. Like,
how much have you raised before? Nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't you just bring $100,000 to the deal first deal? Like, slow down there, big shifter. So, and I want to ask you something. So you were talking about integrity. If you're trying to partner with somebody, how do you know if they have integrity? If you're looking at somebody for integrity, like if I'm looking to partner with a sponsor or I'm somebody that a young buck that's listening to this and I have sweat equity and I don't want to partner with the wrong person and have my relationship ruined, and there goes everything.
Yeah.
How do I look for somebody with integrity? What does integrity even look like? I'm glad I'm asking you this, because if you ask me this, I'd be like, the box scratches his head right now. I'd be like, integrity.
Yeah.
Webster says,
like, what? Yeah, our old pastor used to always say, you know, basically integrity is, you know, doing the right thing when nobody's looking.
Mm.
Right. So if you really knew you could do something and nobody would ever know on earth anyways, would know, would you do it? Yes or no? And to me, you know, it's, if someone wants to get away with something, you know, it's like, how does a bomber get into an airport? Because they're willing to sacrifice their life. Right.
Yeah.
So there's no restraint. If someone wants to partner with you and then they get into it and they're like, they don't have, we had in a situation where a partner, you know, looked, he checked out, he's been in the industry for over 20 years, all things like that. Well, he ended up doing some things he shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, how can that happen? Oh my gosh. You know, didn't you do this and that? It's like, well, how does someone work for a multi-billion dollar company and embezzle money? If someone's willing to, no restraint, they can get away with it, depending on how long they get away with it. I would say take it really, really slow.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you have controls in place. So if you and I partner together, Matthew and I are going to partner together, and we're like, okay, it's 50-50. Mm-hmm. What happens if we disagree? So I had a relationship with somebody that I trusted, and he trustworthy guy, still is today. And he and I had it, well, if we can't agree on something, we have a third party person who we both knew and trusted, his older guy. And we said, he will actually make the final decision.
Mm.
I have situations right now where I'm a partner with somebody. I have properties I want to sell. He doesn't want to sell. I have no way to make him sell. That's my own fault. I should have had things in place and the agreements that would allow me to do that. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, trust people slowly. Ask around. It's a small industry. End of the day, if you're in the business long enough, there's a potential chance that something's going to happen and you're going to get screwed over, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say make sure everything's in writing, no matter what.
Boom. Always, love that.
Always
love
have
that.
It out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And always plan for the worst and hope for the best.
Mm.
I didn't do that before. I mean, our agreements now are really, you know, if someone has a problem signing one of our agreements, it's equal, right? Both sides. Then I don't want to do business with them.
Would there be any red flags as far as integrity concerned, or like hairs that raise up on the back of your neck if somebody said, I don't know, I've been in jail, blah, blah, blah. I've been bankrupt. Like, what would you say? Like, if you were like, this person sounds a little dicey, or like, they always take 3 days to return my emails. Is there anything that you kind of would start, like, you've been doing this for a while and coaching and had programs and stuff. You know, is there anything that you're always like, I'm already on shaky waters?
I mean, it depends probably what the jail. We have, you know, someone I know that was in prison and he's, you know, totally changed his life completely and things like that, has his own business. To me, it'd be more when something comes up and they're, and you have a way to either potentially screw somebody is number one.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we have an agreement and we have the option to screw the seller some way because the agreement was written a certain way. I say, don't screw somebody because it's going to come back to you. So you always want to have a win-win. And then I think there are certain things that will come up and someone might say, well, maybe, and someone told me just the other day, I was talking to somebody and they were talking about how somebody was taking funds from one LLC and using the other LLC and things like that. I'm like, that's commingling. things like that. Yeah. And they'd be like, well, it's not really hurting anybody. But, well, the reality is that you've been discussing it as an issue for me. And that might be extreme. But there are small things that will come up where how someone treats an investor, you know, as far as their tone. And you know, I had a partner before, super smart guy, but we just treated people differently. And that caused a problem. When I did IT, I worked with one of the top guys in the world, literally, for the software, largest software companies in the world. Top guy, 69th employee at the company, you know, started whatever at that time, would have been like 35 years ago now. And, but he was kind of a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
So he had all the knowledge, but people didn't want to work with him because he was a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just your knowledge. It's also the way people treat other people. And if your mindset is, well, we got the job done and doesn't matter how we got the job done, we just got it done. That's different than mine. I want to have a long-term perspective. I want to go back to the same seller, the same brokers over and over again. Mm-hmm. We have a brokerage firm in Atlanta. We've done like 12 deals in 2 years with.
Mm-hmm.
They keep bringing us more deals. But I think
because you have integrity. Because you have integrity.
Well, that and I mean, there are other things people have come up to me. Forget even business. A guy, super nice guy, and he said, well, he wanted to come on a tour with me. And he's, you know, I know him really well. And I said, yeah, you come with us. He said, I'm just going to call in. I'm going to tell work I'm sick tomorrow. I said, well, are you sick? And he's old enough to make his own decisions, right?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, 38 years old. I said, are you sick? He said, no. I said, then that's a lie, right? Yeah. So if you want you to tell work that you have something, you're going out of town, which you are, but don't lie. And those small little things, my mom always, you know, she always got on us about things like that. And that's where I got really I told her she did more for me as a man than anyone else in this entire world, which she did.
Mm.
Integrity, character, always tell the truth. She turned, you know, turned us in, and my little brother stole some stuff, right? And she turned them in, and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Own up, responsibility. Yeah. But you'll see little things where people are talking about, oh, I'm just going to say this, or I'm going to tell my wife this or that. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, it's a lie.
Yeah.
So if they're lying in those things, it's going to be, come out.
And I think, you know, with, you know, integrity in the relationships, like if you're starting out and you want to develop a relationship, a business relationship, and somebody looking for somebody that you want to partner with, like these things are going to take time. So you're going to want to start off by doing what you say you're going to do. And it's as simple as, you know, having integrity, be like, I'm not going to leave these emails hanging for 3 days. I get back to
right
within 24 hours. I get back to every broker and I say, Hey, John, like, this is why you gave me the deal. This is actually our investment criteria. This doesn't fit. Feel free to send some more to us. And like, just stuff like that, right? Like if you go in for the kill right away, like, oh, this broker's blowing me off. He gave me junk. This broker's garbage. Yeah. He's nobody. Like, you know, it's like, why would I give you my meat if like, I just, you know, they want you to close, right? They want somebody that can close. They want to make money. They want you to make money. But why? They don't know you. Why are they going to give you the lion's share of what they think that they can close on within 90 days or whatever?
They're right? going to go to the same. I mean, it's like us right now, right? They go to the same buyers that they used before. I tell people in our group, hey, you want to get in with brokers here, brokers we know. You can tell them you work with us. I said, you're going to a new market. Go to the website. Look for the youngest guy. Look for the youngest broker on the website. People mm-hmm. always think they should go with the guy that's been there for 30 years. He already has all his buyers.
Yeah.
He's not going to, you know, the guy that's new is going to be like, I don't have any buyers yet. I'm going to work with you. And we've been able to get deals that way. But it's true. I mean, those small little things, enough big things will come up, right? Those small little things, as far as always doing what you say you're going to do and getting back with people, being responsive. We have the same situation where people are like, oh, I'm doing this deal. I'm only doing this small little piece and I'm not making very much money. It's like, you're building your track record. You're building, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. They see somebody else, like someone goes to the gym, right? And they're like, look at that guy. Well, you think it happened overnight? He's probably been working out for, you know, for 10 years and eats right and things like that. So, and you're different than them for one, but you can't always replicate somebody, but there are certain things you can glean from other people's experiences. And then you have to become yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're going to become yourself. And I think it's so important too, especially when you're starting out and you think like you compare your day one to somebody else's, you know, day or whatever you said, year 10 of like working out. Right. And investing and whatever physical activity in life, nobody's going to have the same thing, but we're always guilty of it. Right. We compare each other. And I tell people like, there you can do P90X, you can do push-ups, you can climb Everest, you can do the Atkins diet. Like there's a million different workouts, but until you run a marathon, you'll never really know if you like running or if you run a 10K, maybe like, okay, I like to do this. But if you're just watching it on TV or like, oh, they should run this play in football and they should do this. And like, like, are you the coach? Like, have you ever been there? Like, I'm pretty sure they know the players
more than you.
Quadricep injury, that's why they threw the ball and not like you should.
Right.
So until you're actually getting into the game, maybe you don't like raising money. Maybe you want to be a partner. But I think once you start getting out there, you'll develop your own strategy and you'll develop your own investing strategy. You'll develop your own markets. And these things are really key to learn. And I think, I don't know if I'm a firm. Yeah, actually, now that I think about it, you know, faking it until you make it, like you kind of do it, you kind of do it, you kind of do it. And then next thing you know, like, oh, like I've been going to the gym. I got a little bit of muscles, but you know, start building up your portfolio. And that's how you develop your portfolio of like trust, right? Your portfolio of integrity, your portfolio of properties. And the whole thing with entrepreneurship and with real estate is leverage. So what do you do? You leverage those 12, 87, 100 units, bigger partners, more capital, and just parlay that into your, where you are now, 25 years down the road later, you know, with your wife and have a beautiful foundation and a beautiful family, and you're able to live the life that you want. But
yeah,
you, going back to your mother, right? Like if she didn't teach you the integrity, like maybe none of this would have happened.
Yeah. And for me, I had a big why. If you don't have a very big why, it's going to be more difficult. Just is. And you have to be able to be willing to do whatever it takes. If someone said, hey, what does it take to, you know, my wife and I almost gave up after the first year. It took us almost a year to find our first deal. We were like, this is not working. You know, fortunately we didn't give up, but the reality is it's going to take time. You're going to be, I don't care how long you've been doing it, you're going to be frustrated. Things won't always go totally as planned, but follow the process, you know, always, like I said, always do the right thing. It will work out. It doesn't mean you won't have problems. You're going to have problems.
When did you find your why?
When my wife was like, she's ready to leave, ready to leave and walk out the door and get an apartment and things like that. And
did you think you had your why before that?
No. I mean, I was already making good money. That was my main driver. I had my self-worth in my career, which I did. I don't now. I do it because I love doing it, but my worth came from my career. I was really good at, I would say I'm not really good at a lot of things. A couple of things I was good at. I was good in what I was doing on the IT side. I had people like, you know, a lot of people trying to get me right on the projects, and they're paying me really good money. But my why at that time, I didn't have a why. I was already spending a decent amount of time with the kids, actually. I just wasn't spending much time with my wife, frankly. And I was like, well, I don't have time. So I didn't have a why. My why was always from the beginning money. It really was. Always fearful of money. And I was making good money doing IT. So I was already in a position where, you know, financially I was doing really well. But family wise, I wasn't. So when my wife, I mean, I was quite shocked, frankly, when she even said anything. And I was kind of like, what rights do you have to, I mean, really, my mind, what justification do you have to be leaving? I mean, what more do you want? I'm doing everything. I'm providing for the family. I'm taking care of the kids, all these things. But I was ignoring her, frankly. And I didn't value her. She works full time with me. I said, she works more than I do now. And if you keep working, I'll work less. I'll retire. You keep working. And, I didn't value her contribution to the business initially. And now I have seen it's invaluable, and we would not be even remotely where we are as a company right now if it wasn't for my wife. And I'm not just saying that. A lot of people say, oh, my wife, because she comes to your event, she does that. No, that's much different than that support, which is great, but it's not necessarily contribution. My wife gets support, but also she contributes to the business in a major, major way.
Last question.
We compliment each other.
Last question before we jump to the closing questions. What would you say to somebody if they're trying to find their why, or they don't have that why yet, and they're maybe in their late 30s, 40s, and they're at this career job, or they're thinking about getting into real estate, and they're just on this grind, and they're trying to find their why? What would you say to somebody that they're to help them find their why?
I would say, you know, think of where you want to be in 20 years, and how you want. Basically, think of how your life you want to live your life. We have a business coach, and he's helped me a lot in ways more from a personal standpoint. What do you want out of life? And he made me write it out. And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't want to do that. Wrote it out. And I'm like, and then I actually started implementing, like, pretty quickly things that I want. And I was always afraid to kind of say them or put on paper. Cause in some cases it might seem like, oh, you want a housekeeper, you want this and that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, reality is I don't have time to do it. My wife doesn't have time to do it. So if we want a housekeeper twice a week to take care of our house, that's okay. But I didn't even want to say it before because it seemed like you're either snobby or whatever it might be. it's a time thing. So think about how you want your life to, and write it out. I want to be able to, whatever it might be. I want to be able to go to the gym. I want to be able to get massage. I want to do all these things. I want to travel 10 times a year, whatever it is. It's going to be different. And then say, what I'm doing right now is going to get me to where I'm going to be able to do that. If your whole goal is just money, which for most people it is initially, it's going to be short-lived mm-hmm. because you don't get significance. I don't get significance out of just money unless you're going to give it back. And we fortunately been able to give way more than we've ever given before. Love doing it. And I didn't know, frankly, based on my upbringing, whether I was going to want to give money away because it's giving money away from me and my family, right? So I would say, like I said, write out how you want your life to be and then figure out what your why is. If your why is I want to travel 10 times a year, okay. Mine isn't, but that could be. If your why is I want to spend more time with the kids, that's great. I want to go fishing. Well, I don't fish, but if you want to fish, that's great. And then start implementing small little things. Would you be surprised how fast you can do it to get you to where you want to be?
Mm. I just love where this podcast episode went. Just thinking big and going for it. I love it. I love it. Very cool. Well, let's close it out with the three lightning questions here for you. Are you ready, Mark?
Yes, sir.
All right. First question is, what is a pain point or weakness you face right now in your business?
I would say for us, we've been able to do it consistently, but it's capital. As far as for me, from a stress standpoint, it's raising capital. You know, we raised over $50 million last year. But I get nervous raising capital, and I wish we had an abundance of money just laying around, frankly, to be able to fund every deal. Mm-hmm. But that's, whether it's a weakness or not, it's definitely a pain point because it's a stress related pain point for me.
Understandable. Second question, what is your favorite book to regift?
I mean, it's kind of the default. Rich Dad, Poor Dad has definitely changed my life more than any. I will say, I haven't read this yet. My wife just got finished reading. I love the title. The Road Less Stupid, like Keith Cunningham. She cannot say enough positive things about that book. So I can't comment on it, but through her, she just bought me a version of it too. I said, "Did you get me the audio?" She's like, "No." I'm like, "Oh boy." So she has bought me a book. Just I can highlight it myself. Apparently, that's why she bought me my own book. But she raved about that book, The Road Less Stupid.
Very cool. Third question is, if you were to live abroad anywhere for 1 year, where would it be and why?
Hawaii. I've only been there once, but I absolutely loved Maui. So weather for one, and then just kind of the relaxed environment. You know, we're in the hustle bustle here, and you go to certain parts of the country or world, it's just a little more relaxed there. So it'd be nice to live there for a year.
What about outside the US?
Probably Australia.
Australia. Why Australia?
I have a good friend that lives there. I mean, he grew up there, and I haven't been there yet. He invited me to come. My wife's disappointed that I turned him down. We were going to go there about 2 years ago for Christmas. Mm-hmm. But we'll get there sometime.
Very cool. Mark, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you that are listening to this?
Email is mark, M-A-R-K, at thinkmultifamily.com. That's the best way to reach out to me.
Okay. Very cool. Well, I'll make sure to include all your information in the show notes. You've been an amazing guest. Thank you for dropping value bombs on us. I know everybody's going to really enjoy listening to this. We'll catch you on the next go round, my friend.
Thanks, Matthew. And good luck with your baby coming here in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Thank you very much. All right, guys. That was Mark Kenny from Think Multifamily. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode and really took some nuggets about trust and how to scale your real estate business and really take it to the next level. So guys, if you are interested in taking your real estate business to the next level and you want to possibly partner on future deals or learn more about real estate, please go on over to the website at www.matthewbaltzell.com and sign up for the latest updates, and I will get in contact with you and we share a lot of tidbits. So please go on over to www.matthewbaltzell.com and sign up for the latest updates newsletter. Thank you, guys. You've been good. I'll catch you on the next go around. Peace.